In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Egyptian desert is spotted with beautiful oases, pyramids, and temples to the Egyptian gods. But it is also spotted with little monasteries and little hermitages where individuals went and lived their lives. And the Egyptian desert, for a time, was populated, making it no longer really, truly a desert. But it was populated with monks, and those monks came through the example of St. Anthony, the saint we celebrate today. St. Anthony lived in the 3rd century after Christ. He was born in Egypt to very pious and very wealthy parents who unfortunately passed away when he was 18 or 20 years old. And he was left with a rather large estate and a younger sister to look after. And he did what he could to take care of his sister, and he did what he could to take care of their land, and he did what he could to maintain the faith that his parents had instilled in him at such a young age. And on his way to church, he was thinking, as I'm sure we've all had a similar experience, he was thinking about something in his life, how to take care of those around him, how to use his wealth to provide for his sister, but also for those he sees on the street. And he has this personal struggle. And he comes to church and he hears the gospel reading where the young rich man asks Christ, "What must he do to become perfect?" And Christ responds, "If you would be perfect, go, sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and follow me." And just as St. Anthony was thinking and meditating, he was struck, almost as if God had placed that gospel reading within the lectionary for him alone, that he would hear that message on that day when he was having those thoughts and those struggles. And so St. Anthony did what he heard commanded. He sold all of his family's land. He gave the proceeds to the poor. He provided for his sister. And then he left and went and lived in the desert, being maybe 20 years old. He spent the next 85 years living in the desert, praying, practicing his fasting, making a small living and turning that over to the poor again, and fighting, even sometimes physically, against demons and temptations. And as so often happens in the Orthodox world, when a man or a woman attains the Holy Spirit and the grace of the Lord is upon them, it cannot be hidden. They are the light of the world. They are the light that cannot be set under a bushel. And so people are drawn to them, and they are drawn to St. Anthony as they are drawn to his monasteries. And he, being a humble man, retreats further into the desert. And they're still drawn to him. And after years of running and trying to practice his piety in private and in secret, he understands that these men have been sent to him by God, and he takes them on as his disciples and pupils and teaches them. Now, St. Anthony is considered the father of modern monasteries and monastics. Through him, the fame and the practice of ascetical virtues became well known. He received letters from the patriarchs. He received letters from the emperor of Constantinople. In Egypt, his fame was heard in Spain. And all of Western Europe knew of St. Anthony, this great monastic living in the desert. And he has many sayings that are gathered together. It is a pastime of pupils to write down and record the sayings of their elders and their teachers. And the one that he has said that sticks with me the most, the one I'd like to present to you today, is as follows. He said to his disciples, "There will be a day when the whole world will go mad. And someone will come up to you and say, 'You are not like us. You must be mad.'" Think. There will be a day when the whole world goes so far astray that those who have not strayed will be perceived to be off the path. Now, of course, we can always apply this, and everyone hears this and says, "This is our time. This is what St. Anthony is talking about." And yes, that is true, but he is also talking about the 2 centuries before him when Christ came. He's also talking about the time between us and him and the time after us. You see, Christ came into the world, as John records, and says he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. And again, speaking to his disciples, Christ says, "If the world rejected me, will it not also reject you?" You see, this is a pattern, not that St. Anthony is predicting and displaying prophetic vision, but this is a pattern that shows the relationship between the faithful Christians and the world. That there are those in the world who will go astray and try to pull you astray. And when you do not go astray, they will look at you and say, "You must be mad." Children, your friends at school who might not attend church will look at you and say, "Why do you go to church? Why do you go to youth group? You are not like us. You must be mad. You are not mad." Those of us who have embraced the Orthodox faith at a later point in our life and converted, perhaps you've experienced some struggle, some hardship within your own family, that you have been raised by your parents and with your siblings to practice and follow one faith, one version of Christianity, and now you have embraced Orthodoxy, and they will look at you and say, "You are not like us. You must be mad. You are not mad." The world around us is constantly pulling us, telling us that the things of God are madness, that the things of God are unlike the rest of everyone else. And because you follow after the harder things of God, you must be mad. Well, I ask you, brothers and sisters, this sentence, "You are not like us, you must be mad," from who would we rather hear it? Would we rather stand in front of colleagues and friends, even family members, people we do not know, and hear them say, "You're different. You are not like us"? Or would you rather follow after them, turn from God and stand in front of him on Judgment Day and hear him say, "You are not like us. You must be mad"? Amen.